Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to turn with the book of John and get right to the end of chapter 19, if you will. And man, I had a message planned. I know it's hard to believe that Pastor planned a message for Easter. I had a message planned for Easter weekend. And you know what? We were backstage tonight, and I just felt like the Lord wanted to do something different. And so I'm not going to preach that message. I might get to it. I don't know. Maybe I'll preach it tomorrow. Maybe not. Who knows? But we were backstage, and we were talking about how it was Saturday night. And because last night, Friday night, we did a Good Friday service. Was anybody out at Grace Gospel with us last night? There were a lot of people there. And I was like so excited to just be worshiping at another church with another church, because it's not another church. We're the same church. You know what I'm saying? And so it just felt right. And I'm pretty sure the Lord loved it more than any of us did. And that's who we do it for. Amen. So it was so cool just to see the Lord like bringing people back together, people who worshiped together 100 years ago. And, you know, it's a small circle to be a Christian in New England. Amen. If you're a Catholic in New England, your circle gets a lot bigger, you know? But if you're a Christian if you're a spirit-filled Christian in New England, you know, it can feel kind of lonely sometimes, but that's the devil just lying to you, because there are still a bunch of people that haven't bowed their knee to religion in this region. And so we're going after the Lord together. All right. So I want to get you to the end of John 19. And if you can, just put up verse 42. This is all the way at the end. 38 to 42 is the story of Joseph of Arimathea. And therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. That was on Friday night, right? Yep. And then chapter 20 starts with verse 1. It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. That's a spoiler alert of what's coming. But tonight, as we were backstage and worshiping together with the choir, I think it was Esther. Where'd she go? Esther, she's somewhere. And she said, we can't sing Saturday Was Silent because it's Saturday night and we're all here making noise. This is not a silent Saturday night. Right? This is like a celebratory Saturday night. And I just heard you guys worshiping like, you know, like the room was, you know, 10 times as big and 10 times as full. And so we're making noise tonight, but how many of you know that the Saturday night, according to the Gospel of John, the Saturday night was silent? Look in your Bible after verse 42 and before chapter 20. There's like a blank space. That's the verse I want to preach on tonight. It's the verse that isn't there. It's the verse that didn't make it, because the disciples were sitting in fear. The disciples were nervous. The people that had followed Jesus and watched him do miracles and saw him rob the dead out of the graves. They saw him call Lazarus. These were the men and the women that had helped unwrap this mummy, Lazarus, as he like hopped up out of the grave. Yeah. And then Jesus goes into one, and Saturday was silent. Nobody had anything to say. Fear gripped the hearts of these men and women who believed beyond belief in their heart of hearts who their God was, who their king was, who really was in their midst, who their rabbi was, who their teacher was, who their savior was. They were calling him master. And then comes verse 43 of chapter 19. Verse 43 that's not in there, the blank space, the spot, the missing verse. The what happened on this day in between. Where were you? And saints, as we were backstage worshiping tonight for a little while, we come out, we check mics and lines and everything, and then we go back and everybody just worships for a little bit. And we were back there, and I felt like the Lord challenged me and say, do you think I was any less God on Saturday? Do you think just because I didn't come out of that tomb like the second they put me in, was I any less God? Was he any less Jesus? In those hours, those like never-ending edge of your seat, bite your nail down to the quick moments that Jesus was not with them after 3 years of them hanging on every word he said, what happened when he went silent? Was he any less God? I think sometimes we fear the absence of noise. We fear the absence of words. Anybody in here just like one of those nervous talkers? You don't have to say it because I already know you. I know a lot of you in this room. And it's like, you know when you're nervous, because some people don't talk when they get nervous. Other people just blah, 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 blah. And that wasn't speaking in tongues. I wasn't trying to make fun of speaking in tongues right then. I know what you guys were thinking. But I think what happens is we're a people that are so used to filling all of our blank space that we're afraid of a Saturday. We're afraid of a white spot in between words. We're afraid of those seasons of our lives when it feels like God has gone silent. We're afraid of the 400 years from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the new one, where on that one blank page of paper, there was a famine, a dearth of the word of God. But was he any less God? Was he any less powerful? Did it detract or diminish even the slightest bit from the fact that he was the one who spoke all of creation into existence? Did it change the fact that he was the one who had parted the seas so that his people could cross over and then brought them back to wipe out the army that chased them down? That he was the one who preserved life in a boat before anybody had ever made a boat? Did it change the fact that he was the one who figured out how to make a sacrifice as soon as sin entered the picture, so that he could maintain relationship with his people? It didn't change any of it. And I want you to know tonight that a silent Saturday doesn't change anything for you. The seasons of your life, some of you, you're sitting in this room tonight terrified because you're in a moment of time, a whisper of time, and you're not hearing him, or you're not feeling him, or you don't feel like you know him like you used to. You feel like there was a time when God was powerful. There was a time when he was moving. There was a time when it was fresh and it was falling and it was for me. But I haven't felt him in a while. I feel like maybe I was wrong. We start to talk ourselves out of it. The enemy's helping us out. Maybe you got some people in your life and it's like everything out of their mouth is. You know, compounding the idea that he's not real, he's not alive. Everything in our world is working against the truth that changed us. We're afraid of a silent Saturday. We're afraid, what happens when he stops talking? What happens when he stops moving? What happens when that season when I saw his glory fall and I witnessed miracles, or when that old preacher would stand up and every week after week he would bring a message and it would just shake me to my core. That was Thursday, but today's Saturday. And we always skip it, right? Anybody heard the saying, Pentecostals just brutally, what is falling from the ceiling? Is that your baby boy confetti? It's a boy! It is a boy. And I love that, dude. That's the kind of parties we throw in this room, you know what I'm saying? This is not a museum or a mortuary. This is a birthing center. Come on now. So anyway, I just, I love that saying, and then I got tired of it, but you know, everybody say it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. How many of you know, the week does not go Thursday, Friday, Friday, Sunday. It doesn't go like that. There's a Saturday. It was conveniently left out of the saying because nobody likes a silent Saturday. It's Friday, We got to endure the cross. We got to watch this thing go. We got to let it die. But Sunday's coming. See, Friday and Sunday are not the problem. Saturday is the problem for the American church. Saturday has been this mammoth chasm that the sons and daughters of God have tripped and fallen into and settled for not hearing him. And after a while of not hearing him, not believing him. But if you're in a personal Saturday tonight, I want you to know he is no less God on Saturday. He is no less powerful. If he wanted to come walking out, if he wanted to do the moonwalk out of that grave. Hey, where's Caleb Kropman when you need him? Caleb Kropman could do it. I'm going to fall down if I do it. Is he? Caleb? Is he here? Oh, Caleb. He tells that to all the girls. He's not coming. If he wanted to bust up out of that grave on like, you know, 2 seconds after they put, at any point he could have. His power never changed. The immutable, unchangeable. He never stopped. And he still hasn't stopped. And just because you can't see it, just because you don't know it, even if you're in here tonight and you stop believing it because your heart broke somewhere along the way, he's still God on your Saturday. And so here's what I want to do. If you're in the room tonight and you're in a Saturday season, would you stand to your feet? No shame in it. No shame in it. You know what's crazy? This isn't even about sin. This isn't like one of those like sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of things. This is one of those times when sometimes, you know who it happens to the most? It happens to women and men who have seen God do the craziest stuff. It happens the hardest. It hits the hardest to the people who have walked with him the closest. You were so close to the fire, so you're really warm. See, I'm one of those guys. Anybody in here sleep with a heated blanket? Any heated blanket sleepers? I see that hand, young lady. Yes, sir, in the blue t-shirt, I see you. The Lord sees you tonight. I sleep with a heated blanket because I have the circulation of a 173-year-old man. And what happens is my feet are just like cold no matter what. And so I crank up the bed and it's like on, like it's like all the way, it's like the fire insurance dropped us. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's the setting. I turn it up to 11. You know what I'm saying? That's how I need like skin grafts on my feet and that's the right temperature. That's not funny. Don't laugh at that. Y'all are sick. But so what happens is when you're used to that kind of like indulgence on your feet at night, when you get into just like a normal bed, you think you're gonna die. You think the Lord sent you to that Siberian wasteland to put you to death. And now I go to a hotel, I'm about to start just bringing like a blanket. In fact, my feet are getting cold right now. I'm gonna put my shoes back on. Some y'all are like, thank you, it's Easter weekend. Please, I'm not ready for you to walk around barefoot up there yet. I just want to say this before I go. You can play. Yeah, keep playing that. Are you in E-flat, Raph?
Yeah.
You get there?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the deal, right? When you're so close to the heat, as soon as it goes away, you start to freeze, you start to feel it, you start to wonder, you start to miss it. You start to go numb in places, places that used to be so sensitive. So discerning. And I think that there are some people in this room tonight, and because you're not seeing him like you used to see him, you've already seen more, you've already experienced more. There's some people standing up in this room tonight, and you've witnessed God do more things than some people ever will in their whole lives.
Yeah.
And you're not even 50 yet. You've seen God do it. You've experienced it yourself. So you know what happens? That makes you the prime target. How is it? How is it that Elijah, the man of God, the mouthpiece of heaven on the earth, who could see crazy things happen, saw more miracles at his own hands, knowing that when he called down whatever it was, it came all the way up to fire. And then suddenly, after this climactic moment, he runs and hides in fear. Why? Because he had spent his life up close to the fire. And he didn't know what to do in a life that wasn't fully immersed, or at least didn't feel like it was, in the presence and power of God. I want to ask you one more time, if you're in this room and that's you, would you stand up? Yeah, let's do this. I want to pray over this group right here. Because again, this is the beauty of this. This isn't about like, oh, turning your back on the Lord, whatever. Some of you guys, you're still so faithful. You're still, I see some of you guys, y'all are in here every Tuesday night, every Sunday morning. You know, you're waiting for the staff to get here to get in. You know who you are. Some of you never stop being faithful, but it's starting to wonder, starting to feel like sometimes he has. God, why aren't we seeing it like we used to? I believe the Lord wants to show you something else. I believe the Lord's getting ready to crack open the biggest can you've ever seen. You just got to make it through Saturday. All right? So if that's you, would you step out of your seat? Come down here. Pastor John, your team, meet us down here too. Yeah, come on down here. Doesn't matter if this is not your normal church. If I'm not your usual pastor, it's all right. Yeah. Yeah, come on down. Take a couple steps forward, because I'm seeing some of you guys, and it's like you're like the disciples sitting around that table, wondering, waiting. What do we do in the meantime? What do we do while we're waiting? Where do we go? What do we say? We're afraid of what's out there. The Pharisees want us dead. The Roman soldiers just put our leader to death. If there's any sound at all in your Saturday, it's this just whispers. What's this? He's never, never, never been any less God. Never been any less powerful. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's who our God is. That's who our King is. Can somebody make room in the tomb for his power tonight? That dark place that you feel like you're in. Listen, I'm not gonna be somebody that sits here and says, oh, you don't have some good reason to be sad or to feel alone or to be afraid. I'm not gonna tell you that. I don't know your story. I don't know what you're going through. You might have a heck of a reason to be living in fear right now. But you've got an even better reason. You've got an even better reason to stare that fear in the face and say, get back to hell where you came from. Because my God is still God in the grave. My God is still God in the tomb. Some of you tonight, you're singing, I will make room for you. And the room you need to make is a place that you feel like you never should have been. The room that you need to make is a room that you're in that you never thought you'd be in. Wait a minute, why are we even talking about Jesus in a grave right now? Why are we even talking about this? Because there are dark nights of the soul. There are seasons that we go through that feel quiet, that feel like Saturday. They feel like that time when nothing's taking, nothing's working, my prayers are hitting the brass door of heaven and bouncing back at me. Lord, we thank you that you were God in the grave. The only way to overcome death was to face it. And God, I pray that that boldness would rise up in us in the valley moments, in the darkness, in the places where we feel alone, in the seasons where we feel like the heavens are shut up. God, I pray right now, right here in the middle of this, Lord, that you would make yourself so real, that you would open our eyes to see, God, something beyond our wildest dreams about you, about who you are and what you can do in this place. Lord, remind us tonight that Sunday was only Sunday because you were God on Saturday. Lord, the resurrection was only the resurrection because you stayed dead long enough to prove that death had no power. And Lord, we're believing and agreeing tonight that this season in our lives is exactly long enough to prove that you still have power over it, in Jesus' name. As we continue to pray down here, church, stand up with me tonight. Stand up with me tonight. Let's begin to worship. Let's begin to worship. Let's begin to just come back to that place where, like the apostles in the prison cell, right? We see it, right? Even in the prison cell, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, even if God doesn't rescue us from the furnace, doesn't change who he is. Even if the ship goes down, doesn't change who's on my boat. I'd rather be on a sinking ship with Jesus than on a stable one by myself. Yeah, say, and Saturday was silent, surely it was through. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? And Friday's disappointment, or Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Come on, sing it out, say. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. And this is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. Pentecostal fire stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. And resurrection power runs in my veins too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. If you're out in the room tonight, you know he's still God on Saturday night. Why don't we go ahead and make some noise and say, my God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elisha if there's anything that he can do. Yeah. James, we're going to continue to worship, and the altars are open. If you should have come down and you didn't yet, it's all right. Come on down now. But listen, you're dismissed, and do me a favor and have the best Easter of your whole life, all right? He's alive. He's powerful. He reigns on high forever and ever and ever, and there is nothing hell can do about it. So just go and enjoy the Lord this weekend, all right? God bless you all.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.